This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, saying good morning to Charlie and all the rest of you folks tuning in.
Good morning, Franklin.
Well, here we are.
I was blinded this morning coming in here. There was
this
bright yellow thing in the sky.
What the heck is that?
Yeah, it was just like, whoa, I can't see. It's so bright.
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
So
beautiful.
But
I'm telling you, I'm getting really ticked off at the weather people because I'm glancing. Well, I'm coming in like about 6:30. I was on the road this morning. Zero on the thermometer.
Seriously?
And yeah.
You live up in the Arctic, I think.
Yeah, the north end of Stouffville area, but. Gosh, it took until I was down about Stouffville Road before I saw 1 degree show up.
Wow.
I thought, oh, come on. Come on.
It's May,
springtime.
What? May 11th.
Yeah.
And it's
However,
chilly.
Look at outside. It's a beautiful looking day. Huh?
Very beautiful blue sky.
Yeah. And welcome along to the garden show. But let me give you the phone numbers here. That's my main job.
That's exactly
right. Make sure you can get through on the lines. And in Toronto, call this number, 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. For those of you who are first-time callers, let Sebastian know when you call in, and then when you get to the airways, you're going to hear that. You get your garden wings. Oh, and our little mantra. Don't forget that. Call early, call often, one question per call, and that'll be it.
Wow. You can hear me rustling through my papers. I have a lot of papers here today.
I have noticed that, yes.
Well, you know why? Today is a very big day in the plant sale world.
Well, Mother's Day tomorrow, right?
That's a good point. Maybe that's why. Part of it is. Get out there and get your mom something pretty. Well, okay. Here's the plant sales that are going on today in Southern Ontario. The Scarborough Garden and Hort Society is holding their sale from 9:30, so starting in half an hour, to 1 o'clock at the historic Campbell House Farm. All right, so that's near the Scarborough Village Recreation Center. The Markham Garden and Hort Society having their plant sale from 9 to 12 at the Markham Village Community Center, which is 6041 Highway 7 East at Highway 48. The Niagara-on-the-Lake Hort Society is welcoming everyone to their annual plant sale at the Niagara-on-the-Lake Arena in Virgil. So that's 1567 Four Mile Creek Road. The Hort Societies of Parkdale in Toronto, right here in our neighborhood. We could go there after the show from 10 until 2. Plant sale at the Roncesvalles United Church, 240 Roncesvalles Avenue, rain or shine, because that's an indoor event. But of course, it's beautiful everywhere. There's no rain. Okay. Then I've got another one here. The Innisfil Garden Club Spring Flower Show and Tea. That's today at the Churchill Community Center, 6322 Yonge Street. Everyone is welcome from noon until 1:30. Excuse me. Tea and light lunch served at a cost of $7 a person. And I've found one more in my bag, which is the Port Hope Garden Club. They're hosting a plant sale today from starting at 8:30. And of course, they are meeting, where is it? Somewhere. Oh, right. At the Fair Building on McCall Street in, I assume, Port Hope. So there you go. There's about 5-6 different plant sales going on today. And I think you're right. Probably the timing is something about that because these plant sales that the clubs put on are typically, sometimes they'll have a little budget and they'll buy some plants to resell. But in many cases, the vast majority of the plants have been dug out of the members' gardens and potted up. Put a little tag in to tell people what it is, get it out there on display, and it's a fundraiser. It's a fundraiser for the club. So they can afford to hire people like me to come and speak to them, right?
Right.
It's a good thing. So get out there and support those plant sales. The Agent Court Garden Club will be having a meeting this Monday evening at 8 o'clock there, and their first flower show. Are there flowers actually? Yeah, I guess there are. I've got lots of bulbs. So flower shows are where you cut things out of your garden and bring them in. That's at the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland at Shepherd. The speaker is Emily Rondell, teaching about gardening for birds, butterflies, and beyond. Very fun group, so feel free to go and have some fun with them. And then I've got, this is the wrong date, it's Monday, May 15th. But there is no Monday, May 15th. It must be Monday, May 13th, 7:30, the Blenheim Hort Society, hosting John Taylor, and they meet at the Trinity Anglican Church, 59 Ellen Street in Blenheim. And one more for May 19th, the Greater Toronto Water Gardeners, holding their next meeting at the Banbury Community Centre, 120 Banbury Road in North York. That's next Sunday, May 19th. 12:30 to 3:30. The speaker is Carl Conan. Subject is ornamental grasses. And he does work at the Black Forest Garden Center in King City. Have you ever been there?
No.
Oh, it's a great garden center. Black Forest Garden Center in King City for anybody who lives up in York region.
We'll check that out.
All right.
All righty. We've got a whole bunch of calls to check out, too.
Oh, good.
Lines are loaded at the moment.
All questions are easy today.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to welcome old friend Josephine from Pickering back. She's first off the list here this morning. We'll be talking to her and others just in moments from now on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, there's a familiar name that shows up on our monitor. Josephine from Pickering. Good morning.
Good morning to the both of you. How are you both?
Good morning.
Great, thank you.
Excellent. Beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. The weatherman's been crazy all week, hasn't he?
I know.
What I'm calling about is three deer.
Oh, okay.
My sister has a beautiful big backyard with a stream running through it. However, she is visited by three deer, a mama, a papa, and a baby.
Oh, boy.
Like
however,
Bambi.
Everything that is growing up is being eaten.
I know.
What can she do to try to prevent some of this?
So is food, plants being eaten now as they're starting to grow, they're getting eaten, or did damage occur over the winter?
No damage during the winter, just the deer.
Okay. So, I mean, there's long lists of plants on the web for sure, but just keep in mind kind of rule of thumb here. Deer don't like smelly plants. So fragrant plants, they don't like, prickly plants, so, you know, barberry comes to mind, roses, things with thorns, deer don't like.
Oh, they love roses.
Okay, well, you just get some thornier roses. they don't like furry plants. They typically will stay away from plants that have, you know, furry leaves.
Right.
Poisonous plants, daffodils. No animals eat daffodils because they're poisonous.
Right.
Foxglove. Anything that's toxic to.
Didn't you recommend some stuff you spray on
point.
You know, plant, was it plant skid?
Yeah. Yeah. Has your sister tried, Josephine? I've got to get a hold of some of this and really do a proper test myself, particularly when I move out to the country. I'm going to have deer as well. Product called Plant Skid. So plant, just
right.
Like a plant. And then S as in Sam, K as in kite, Y as in yellow, D as in Dobbin, D as in Dobbin. So Plant Skid.
Plant Skid.
It's a repellent of deer, rabbits, voles, and small critters. It's completely organic. It's effective for up to 6 months. It was invented, I keep wanting to say in Finland or Norway, it was invented to protect plants from elk because the elk were chewing all the plants. Turns out it works for elk and it keeps a lot of other varmints away from plants as well. It is for sale at any good garden center and you may even find it at, a Canadian Tire, Home Depot. I'm not sure, but I know for sure it's available at Sheridan Nurseries.
I don't think I've ever seen it at Canadian Tire or Home Depot.
Yeah, so go to a good garden center.
Okay, something like that.
Or tell your sister to and give it a try. It's very, very well rated and ranked and, excellent reviews on it.
You give us your review, if you would, in a couple of weeks' time.
And again,
definitely, because they're already chewing the tops off of her iris and there's no blooms.
Oh, oh goodness.
Yeah,
okay.
She needs to get out there and do some spraying. So,
you bet.
So, yeah. And again, you can check it on the web. And if you go to their website, it'll tell you who sells and where.
Okay then. Thanks an awful lot. Have a good weekend and a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Well, thank you for the nice weekend part. Mother's wish was for Charlie. Hey, let me reach for the bell here. My gosh.
Oh, good.
That is for Vanessa, first-time caller from Brampton. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. The sun's shining. It's lovely.
It sure is. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was plant-sitting for a friend, gave her back her plant, and discovered I've got some little black flying things in my soil. Mm-hmm. And they're spreading now. So I've put two of the pots outside. I've tried beer with a little bit of soap in it to see if I can attract them.
It's a waste of good beer.
Not one I liked.
Okay, so you know what that is. They look like fruit flies.
Yes, they do.
And they fly around, and they're actually not doing any, typically not doing any damage, but they aren't very nice having things flying around inside the house.
Right.
They are not fruit flies. They are called fungus gnats. They're gnats, G-N-A-T, and they eat fungus. So you're right. They're living in the soil because there's fungus in the soil, and that's what they eat. And they fly around looking for a nice moist place to lay their eggs, which is typically back into the soil.
Right.
The eggs hatch, and they're little tiny, tiny little caterpillars that eat fungus and then grow up to be little flies that fly around to lay more eggs. So here's what you're going to do. Putting them outside really ultimately won't kill the fungus gnats. What you want to do is you want to make the environment one in which there's less fungus.
Okay.
So if you can, water less.
Yes, I haven't watered for 2 weeks.
Okay, good. And you'll find that by drying the soil down between waterings, I'm not saying kill the plants from lack of water, but allow the soil really to dry down and you will find you'll have less fungus in the soil, therefore fewer gnats. And then the product I've used that works really well, it's not instant, but it does work, is, and again, you'll find this at a good garden center, as well as, I believe, the Home Depots and Canadian Tires. It's called Sticky Sticks, made by Safers. So Sticky and then S-T-I-X. And it's the bright, it's like flypaper. Bright, it's bright yellow, sticky, sticky little sheets of plastic. It comes with little prongs to put it into.
Same idea as those fly things that used to hang from the ceiling 40 years ago.
Exactly. The fungus gnats are attracted to the yellow and they fly into it. They get stuck. They die. And that's a good thing because then they're not laying eggs.
Right.
So it is a process. It will take a couple of weeks, but eventually if you stay on that routine of, you know, drying down, having less fungus, and number two, killing the adults by trapping them into the sticky paper, eventually the fungus gnats will all disappear.
All right. Now, I just have one question. It goes along with these little gnats that seem to have migrated towards my 12 orchids.
Right. Well, it is possible because, again, you know, you do water the orchids on occasion and they're probably growing in a bark or whatever media. So, again, there is potentially fungus as well within whatever that media is. So, same thing. You're going to, the sticky gizmos will work eventually. It's not going to happen overnight, but you will eliminate the entire population just by watering thoroughly, but less often, and getting those sticky things out in every single pot where you suspect you've got fungus gnats.
I will go shopping for sticky things.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you. And come on back anytime, okay?
Yeah.
I will. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, you know what it's because it's one other thing I probably should mention, which is two things. One is Vanessa mentioned she was plant sitting. So when a plant comes into your house, whether it's your friend's plant or a gift plant or an impulsive purchase on your part, always, always quarantine. Isolate new plants. Don't assume that they're perfect and that they can just join all the little brothers and sisters that you've got on your window ledge. Isolate, quarantine, make sure that the new plant is healthy. Give it at least a week alone and keep an eye on it before you bring
like
it into the family.
It's like a kid with measles coming into the
house. That's right.
Whoa,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And the other thing is you will know fungus gnats by banging the side of the pot. They will all rise up in a cloud.
Right.
So even right now, Vanessa could go to each of her pots, bang them, and separate out who's got gnats and who doesn't, and right away, beginning today, separate those that are infested and those that aren't.
Good idea. Okay. You know what? I'm glancing at the monitor here, and we have to take a little bit of a break. Coming back, for another first-time caller. Joan there in Hamilton. We'll be letting her join the show in just a couple of moments here on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, my friends, thank you for joining Charlie and myself, Frank Proctor, here on a gorgeous Saturday morning. Yeah. And we welcome, as I indicated earlier, a new caller, a first-time caller,
yes.
Joan from Hamilton. There
all
you
right.
go.
You have your wings.
Welcome. Good morning.
Oh, hello.
Good morning.
I wanted you to know how much I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
It's just great. And happy Mother's Day, Charlie.
Thank you very much.
The question I have is about my Easter lily.
Uh-huh.
It's lost its flowers. Now what do I do with it? Mm. And can I plant it outside?
You can. You can. Just keep it alive. Of course, the flowers are finished. So just with a little pair of scissors, cut off that spent flower, but leave the stem, leave the green leaves, and grow it as a houseplant. Until we're frost-free. Now, when is that going to be? It might be July, the way things are going. But at some point, we're going to feel confident there's no more frost in the forecast. And at that point, you can take the plant outside. Continue to just water as required. Don't water too often, because otherwise the bulb will rot. Eventually, all those green leaves will start to turn yellow. The plant will start to disappear and die down. And at that point, once it's dormant, I would plant it out into a sunny, well-drained spot in the garden, and it will come up again next. It won't come up for Easter. Those are tricked and forced to grow for Easter. It's more likely to grow and flower in your garden in roughly June next year.
Oh, so I plant it now in the garden.
You can, but I would just wait. I wait until it's a little warmer. The garden, the weather's still a little too cold.
Right, and it can stay out all winter.
Oh, yep. Those lilies are very tough.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very
Thanks
welcome.
Thanks for joining us, Joan. Welcome back all
Thanks
the time.
Thanks for calling, and don't be a stranger.
That's Joan from Hamilton. And, gee, one of your neighbors, Barbara, is on the line right now. Good morning, Barbara.
Is it me you want to talk to?
That is exactly right.
I'm talking to you?
We're talking to you, and you're talking to us. Go ahead.
Okay. It's the regular little pest. I'm back again because I'd like to know if I have a succulent plant.
Uh-huh.
And it was given to me by a friend, and I'd like to put it outside.
Sure.
I hear you can.
Of course.
And,
for the summer.
Like, when would I do this and where? Like, does it need a lot of sun?
Yeah. Okay, so think about what you would give it inside. You would give it the sunniest spot in your house.
Right.
And you would only water when it absolutely required water, if you kept it indoors. Putting it outside is fine. It'd be very happy to be out for the summer. Start in a shady
spot. I was wondering if I had to bring it in the fall again.
Yep, it will die. Yep, it will not survive the winter. Succulents, they're typically tropical plants from the latitude of the tropics. So, but start it in a shady spot. I would wait at least another week or two, go outside into the shade for 10 days or so, and then slowly bring it out into a brighter, sunnier location on the deck or the patio, wherever. And of course, leave it in a pot. Don't plant it in the ground. Enjoy it and it will love the sun. It will be a very happy plant. You will fertilize. You should fertilize. It's spring. All the plants would love some fertilizer, and that will encourage more growth, and then bring it in by the end of August.
And you say I can put the poinsettia out.
Yep.
Now when?
Same thing. Wait a couple of weeks and then start in the shade. And with the poinsettia, you never want to go into full sun. You want to go into a place where morning sun, afternoon shade.
Okay. I probably won't have to bug you again for a while.
There'll be something, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, thank
anytime.
You, Charlie.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank
this
you.
Weekend.
You Alrighty. Too. Enjoy the sun.
Bye-bye, Barbara. let me see here. We're off to Oakville to say hi to Suzanne. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
This is my first time I'm calling in to your program.
Oh, really? Just a minute.
Will you get the bell? Wings.
Oh, yes, the bell. Is it coming?
I'll give it to you again.
There it is.
There you go.
Oh, I heard it. Now, thank you so much for that. Now, Charlie and Frank, I recently purchased hydrangea, and its name is called Rhapsody. What caught my eye was the green flowers.
Okay.
Beautiful. Right now, it's sitting on the windowsill of my kitchen. So it's getting plenty of light. There are new growths appearing on each of the four, five stems. And I wanted to know when it would be safe enough for me to plant it outside.
So I have a question.
Yes.
When you bought it, was it inside the store when you bought it or outside?
It was inside the store. You know, the Sobeys and these places sell plants.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Inside the store.
Okay, so the reason I ask is because this time of year it's always a bit tricky, but because we're still not frost-free, stores are taking plants inside at night and putting them outside during the day and back and forth. I mean, I was in Costco yesterday. There's plants inside the store, you know, plants that are ultimately supposed to be outside or inside just because it's been so chilly. So that's why I asked. So, okay, so Rhapsody is very considered a pretty new plant. Celery green flowers.
Yeah, that's what caught my eye.
Aged to a deep red. And you are calling from Oakville.
Yeah.
So it is a plant that ultimately should be outside. It is going to be a little bit borderline hardy, though. So you're going to have to come up with a location when you plant it outside where it is protected from the north and the west wind.
Oh, gosh.
Do you have a spot where you
The back of our... Well, our home is virtually a forest, really.
Oh, nice.
But there is some sunshine, you know, coming through the boughs.
That's
fine. Would you recommend a southeast?
Yes, that would be optimal, or even just east. Yeah, that way you get that morning sun, and you've got, because hydrangeas like some brightness. Bright is good. They don't need, like, full all-day sun by any means.
Okay.
But they do, they're called hydrangea for a reason. They love water.
Water, yeah, so, I noticed that.
Yeah, so when we put them in a situation where they're facing south, they get so much sun that they end up looking pretty peaked by the end of a hot day. So that's why I prefer, if you can, southeast is fine, but just straight east is good as well. And it should be a lovely plant. I mean, it looks really, really interesting when I just looked it up here. Those green flowers are going to turn red, ultimately.
They will. I found it in an advertisement about flowers, the name of it,
because
I didn't know what it was called.
Right.
And it's so lovely.
And it's going to get as much as, 3 feet by 3 feet. So make sure you plant it.
Just repeat the name for the rest of the episode.
Well, it's hydrangea, but it's called Rhapsody.
Rhapsody, what a lovely name.
Yeah, beautiful. Very nice.
So you recommend a southeast rather than just south?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll find a spot in the front.
All right.
Very good.
Well, we report back on that.
Thank you so much for your advice, Charlie.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Have a great day, Suzanne. Thank you for joining us here on a good-looking Saturday morning. And this is the Saturday morning for first-time callers, I guess. My gosh.
The first-time callers.
Yeah, let me reach again for the bell. Wait a minute. Hey, that's for Cam.
Oh, you're getting your exercise.
Cam in Mississauga. Good
welcome.
Morning, Cam.
Yeah, good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Just a quick question. I'm having difficulty germinating grass seed. Is it too cold?
Nope. It is a bit cold, so the grass seed is waiting until conditions are optimal. So remember, the soil is still cold, the air temperature is still cold, we've had a lot of gray days, no shortage of water, so it's just, and as long as you are not trying to grow on a slope where the grass seed could have washed down, if you're trying to grow seed on a level surface, remain patient. It will come. The seed will germinate eventually. It's just waiting for better conditions.
Yeah, if the birds don't eat it all, that's the other problem.
That's the other thing. So I always like to sprinkle a little soil before I put my grass seed down, and then I use a rake and I do a light raking and hopefully cover up some of the seed.
Yeah, all the rain we've been getting has been washing out all out.
That's not a lot of help, is it?
No, but it's, better the rain than having to be out with a sprinkler every day. I mean, the seed needs that moisture, but certainly the temperatures have not been optimal for seed growth. So just remain, keep an eye. I think you'll find it'll come up. just need a few more days like today, and okay. It'll be up very quickly.
That's what I thought. Well, thanks very much for your response.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Cam.
Thank you for calling, and don't be a stranger.
Exactement. Okay. Here we are, broadcasting live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village, and it's a sunshiny morning in we're in a sunshiny mood.
Sunshiny morning.
Yeah.
I love the way you say that.
Well, we have Lorraine on the line from Cambridge. Good. How are things in Cambridge, Lorraine?
Lovely and bright and sunny and crisp.
Good.
Yeah, and crisp, exactly.
I called because I'd heard about you saying about trimming back evergreens to encourage growth at the bottom by trimming the top. Mm-hmm. Will that work on a juniper?
So it's an upright juniper, like a pyramidal-shaped juniper?
No. It's one of those ones that are like fronds. I have a feeling that's not going to work.
So it's, okay, so junipers typically have one of two modes of growth. One is they're spreading plants, and the other is they're upright plants.
They're spreading.
So this is a spreading. But it's old. Is it like 30 or 40 years old?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got bare stuff underneath.
Yes.
No, it's, well, you know what, why it won't, well, I mean, it sort of would work, but it won't really work because all that top growth is shading the lower part of the plant. So the lower part of the plant is not getting much sun, so that you're not getting a lot of growth there.
And if you trim off the top, you ruin the look of the...
Yeah, I mean, you can do some tips, wait a while, though, wait another month or so, but you can do a little tip cutting back. That's the optimal time to trim junipers. Some people shear them, like they get out a head shears and turn them into a ball or a globe or something. Avoid that if you can. Allow the plant to be its natural shape. But when the fronds are really starting to grow, which they will in the next month or so, is an excellent time to get in there and do some cutting back. And you cut back in such a way that the new growth covers the cuts that you've made, so you don't see those pruning points because that new growth will cover it. And you may find that, well, depending on the health of the plant, that may encourage some new growth at down
okay,
the bottom.
Now the other thing is, this is not a new question, but I asked about live oaks, and I wasn't able to listen to your reply.
Okay, so you know what I learned? I learned that live oak, I know it's a crazy term, it's just the common term for, I wonder if I wrote this down, because I looked it up. Yeah, you hear that all the time in the South,
yes.
Live oaks, and they are just, that's the common sort of term for what is just an oak tree. Now, oh, they're live oak Carolinas. Yeah, exactly. I've got you called in April 6th. I didn't write down the answer. So, you know what? I'll look it up again. But it's not an oak that we grow here. I know that much.
Right.
So
okay, well.
I can let you know. But yeah, it's just that's the common name in that part of the world in South Carolina,
okay.
Georgia.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Alrighty. Thank you for calling.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, did you want me to go back?
I was going to say something else, and now we got going on that, and I'm trying to remember what the definition was, because I do remember you saying it.
Exactly. Live oak tree. Look,
so while Charlie scours the internet, let me say we've got to take a break anyway, so that's a good thing. Give her mind a moment to cool down.
Steam's coming out of my ears.
Exactly. And we'll be back to say hi to Ann in Newmarket. Lines are open, by the way, at 416-360-0740, that in Toronto, and then anywhere in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And Charlie, you've had some luck, have you?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to hear this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so why do they call it a live oak? The live oak, proper name is Quercus virginiana, is named live because it's an evergreen oak. So it does not drop its leaves. So most oaks drop their leaves and then grow new ones. Quercus virginiana does not. So it's called a live oak because it's an evergreen oak.
It's kind of quirky.
There you go.
All righty. Back in a moment here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dubman.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Alrighty, my friends, here we go. Back to the phone lines in The Garden Show. And from Newmarket, we welcome Anne to the show. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day, Charlie.
Thank you very much.
I'm phoning for, I have a chain link fence in the back.
Uh-huh.
And my backyard faces the west.
Okay.
I'm looking for something to grow easy and fast for privacy.
And do you look? Are you looking for something that would be a vine that would just grow during the summer and then it would not be there in the winter? Or are you looking for something more 12 months out of the year?
12 months out of the year, I'll take it.
Okay. Well, I mean, the most obvious one that people will very commonly use is a cedar hedge. They do very well along chain link fences. It's funny, where I live, my house, my whole backyard used to be surrounded by chain link. And over the years, we've replaced different pieces with wood.
Yes.
But my one neighbor had a cedar hedge. And at first, for the first like 10 years that I lived there, I used to always trim the cedar back to the hedge. And so I had the privacy of their cedar on their side, but I had the chain link showing on my side. Right. And then one year, like a light bulb went off in my head and I went, I don't have to trim it right back to the hedge, to the fence. I can leave it growing through the fence and it looks like I've got a beautiful cedar hedge and you don't even see the ugly, you know,
chain link.
Yeah. So they do very, very well in that situation. Cedars on your side. And of course you want to plant it at least, you know, 2 feet away and allow it to grow. And this is the best time of year. You can get very inexpensive, what we call bare root cedar at this time of year. And where you are in Newmarket, I know for sure there'll be some nurseries around you that will have bare root cedar for sale. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can get them, you know, 3-4 feet high.
Right.
But the day you buy them, you plant them. Like, you have to be ready to plant them. There's no soil on the roots. There's no pot. And the price is right because each plant is usually only, you know, $5, $6, $10 at the most. But you get them, you get your trench dug in advance, good soil on hand. Plant those in there on 18 inches apart, 24 inches apart, and you've got an instant cedar hedge.
Oh, good. Thank you. And I was going to give the last caller there that phoned for the deers. Remember that recipe you had where it's 2 part water, 2 eggs, 2 milk.
That's right.
Soap and oil. That was for to keep the deers away.
That's a good point.
You're right.
I do have it here.
Do you remember that one?
I do. I think I've got a post-it note where that one is.
Okay. I thought I'd be some help.
Thank you.
You have been. And thanks so much for jogging both our memories, Kelly.
Well, yeah. And even you jogged my memory on the product, plant skin product.
Well, it's one of those mornings, you know, you can't keep everything going on in your noggin, for gosh sakes.
I am so distracted, too.
Well, now, let's have a little trip to an old stomping ground of mine, St. Catharines. There's Shelley. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. What a beautiful, sunshiny day.
So happy
to see that golden orb in the blue sky.
Like, what is it? I know.
Yeah, exactly. I have a begonia that I wintered over, let it dry down, and, you know, planted the tuber and everything, and it grew. It was about maybe 10 inches long, maybe a good half an inch in diameter for the growth that was coming up.
Right.
And when we had that beautiful warm rain, I put it outside to let Mother Nature water it.
Yes, you forgot about it.
Yep. No, I didn't forget about it.
Okay,
but I think I had a squirrel or something that was very interested in it because it snapped off the tuber. And I want to know, do I take that out?
So it snapped
off.
Or do
I leave it in and will it regrow?
So it snapped. So it snapped off the growth that had started to emerge from the tuber?
Yes.
The little bit of green?
Right clean off it.
I know, those squirrels. So you've brought it in. It's in back on the window ledge. Have you seen any new growth emerge in the last 2 weeks since it came in?
This only just happened this week, hon.
Oh, okay. You know what? Just don't water it because it'd be very easy to rot the tuber.
I'm not watering it.
Just get it warm spot. The warmer spot, warm as in window ledge.
Next to a heat duct?
Yeah, next to a heat duct. Of course, you don't want it, hot air blowing on it, but warmth will speed up new growth emerging from that tuber. It's fine.
Okay. I didn't know if any more growth would come from
it this year, or if
it was like one time and that's it.
No, it should still have lots of stored energy within that tuber. So it started and then it got broken off. It should continue. More should emerge.
Okay.
But
good.
a little bit of warmth from below.
Thank you so very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Have a great day, Shelley. Thank you very much for calling. Nice to have you with us on this Saturday morning. And a spot where we would normally head We're going to go to High Park in just a couple of moments. But normally, we, you and I, Charlie, would head over to High Park to the Grenadier Restaurant.
Not at this time of year. Not,
no, no. The cherry blossoms are out, and the place is packed. So.
I know. And they made it a car-free zone at one point. Yeah. I don't know if it still is. But for us to walk all that way would take a while.
Yeah. But we'll join Jean, who lives in High Park.
Yeah, interesting.
And have a chat with her in just moments here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Now, we're joking to just take a break before we go to High Park. You found that recipe, right?
It was a Sean James recipe that he shared with us. So, Josephine, I know you're still listening. Sorry. Tickle. 2 eggs, 2 cups of milk, 2 tablespoons olive oil, and a dash of dish soap. All of this, and then to that, we add 2 liters of water and some cayenne pepper and spray any plants that are being chewed by deer to the dripping point, and it will last for up to a month on the plants, and the deer will stop eating.
Well, how about that?
It's a deer repellent. Eggs, milk, olive oil, dish soap, 2 liters of water. Cayenne pepper.
All righty. Good. Thanks for finding that.
And thanks for reminding me.
Jean in High Park. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple plum trees. Mm-hmm. It's not too late spray.
Are they growing?
They're blooming.
They are blooming?
You start. Open up the buds a little bit.
Yeah. No,
tiny bit.
No, you cannot spray fruit trees when they're blooming, even just a tiny bit.
Oh.
It's against the law.
Oh, I see.
Because anything you're going to spray with is an insecticide. And right now, the insects are buzzing around all those flowers as they're starting to open, and your insecticide will kill the bees. It's called the Bee Act. And it says that it's illegal to spray any fruit trees when they're blooming.
I see.
Okay, so wait. Just wait till they're finished blooming, and then you can spray after the blooms are done.
After bloom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're going to have fruit, lots of fruit.
They will if the insects can get to them.
They're so beautiful. They have lots of bugs.
Excellent.
Good for you,
lovely.
Jean.
Lovely.
Thank you.
We'll be dropping by in a couple of weeks, months to check out your plums.
Okay. Yes. Well, let me check out the bell again here. My golly, I'm busy, busy,
you
busy.
You are, my goodness.
Sandra in Bellwood, Ontario. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm phoning about the Anok lavender. It's the first time I've ever bought it. They were in pots, and I was wondering, like, is it as strong of a lavender as the other lavenders? Like, it seems to be a new lavender out, is it?
Yeah, it's actually not that new, but it is very pretty. And it is, I'm pretty sure it originally came from Spain. So just like any lavender, if you run your hands over it, you'll get that lovely aroma.
Okay.
However, it is not a perennial plant. It is an annual lavender.
Okay, so I didn't know.
Yeah, so enjoy it for the like it'll bloom very beautifully in a sunny spot all summer, but recognize
so don't put it in the ground.
Exactly. I would put it into a pot or a, you know, mixed container garden or even in the ground, but just know in your heart of hearts it will not be there next year.
Oh, darn. Okay. So what lavender do you buy that is perennial?
If you're in Bellwood, so going to a good garden center, go to the perennial section, and depending on, there are different lavenders out there. One is called Hidcote, so Hidcote, Hidcote, and it's typically lavender. It's an angustifolia is the actual species. So lavender, the proper name is lavender.
What is it, Hidcote?
Yeah, Hidcote.
Hid.
Yeah, Hidcote. Hidcote Blue is a perennial. There's a number of them out there. Some of them are absolutely excellent for color and bloom and hardiness and all that important stuff. Lots of sun, well-drained soil. But that Anok one, I love it, but it just doesn't survive.
Okay, so I'll just leave it in a big, I got a couple of them, so I have a big, I don't know what to call it. A big tub. I'll put it out there and just put it in the sun, right?
That's right. And take little clippings if you want. You can make a little potpourri. You can make sachets. You can do with just what you would do with any lavender. But it just won't be there next year.
Okay. Well, that's okay. But if I knew that, I wouldn't have bought the darn things. Man, I love them. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wanted something to put in the ground to have for, you know.
Forever and ever.
Perennial, yeah. But Anyway, I'll go buy some more.
Okay,
good for
off you go.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Okay,
happy
Sandra.
Mother's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. And you know, we start out the show every Saturday morning with a little mantra: call early, call often, one question per call. And if you want to call back again, by all means. And by golly, I think it's happening.
There it is.
Lorraine
right.
in Cambridge. Is this the same Lorraine who called earlier?
It is.
Well, there you
this
are.
Our,
good for you.
Our live Oak Lorraine.
Yes. Now, this is a strange question. On the front cover of the Zoomer magazine, Corey Hart's on the front. On page 19, it's a picture of Garden Ontario with a garden showing there. And in the back, there's a tree of some sort with tricolor green and peach foliage. I was wondering if you could find that and see what it is. Now, that could be an indoor garden, and it could be not something I can't grow, but... If you could, okay.
I'll find that magazine and let you know for sure. But you know what it probably is, if you wanted to just look this up? It's
yes.
probably something called a tri-color beach.
Beach.
B as in Bob.
Oh, beach. Okay. Yep,
E-E-C-H. It could be that. The other very commonly grown tri-colored, very pretty plant is a willow. And it's, gosh.
That's not so good.
I'm trying to remember the proper name on that.
Very
it is a tri-
feathery looking.
Yeah, okay, so it might be the willow.
Okay.
And I'm going to have trouble
right,
remembering
well, thanks,
actually.
I'll look that up.
All right, yeah, look that
up.
Either willow or beech. Just Google tricolor willow, tricolor beech. Either
okay.
Very pretty plants.
Yeah, thank
really
you.
Ornamental.
Yes.
Good questions. Well, you got some really good questions there, Lorraine. You're going to get the question of the day award or something.
I love the garden.
Question of the week award.
Thank you so much, Lorraine.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks
okay,
for calling.
Have a good weekend. And in case it applies, happy Mother's Day, too.
Yeah.
As well. And unfortunately, the weather for tomorrow, Mother's Day, does not look that sparkling.
No,
last report, anyway.
So it'll be a good day to just stay in bed and
yeah.
let the family bring
yeah.
breakfast and lunch
well,
and
exactly.
dinner and just like, you know.
Exactly. Golly.
Do you
I'll
be a Dr. Seuss character?
I'm looking forward actually to hearing from Maud, who is the Sunday night cleaning lady, who often just bursts in on the BBSN, the Big Band Sunday night.
Oh, does she?
She was all excited last week because her son Willard was taking all the empty beer bottles back, and with every cash in bottle, he was going to spend every cent, he said, on Maud, his mother's present for Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
So we'll have to find out what transpired
oh,
there.
So you'll find that out, I guess, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He will have given her the gift by
I'm
then.
Looking forward to that. Meantime, hey, it's been fun today. A lot of really interesting questions.
I know. It's great. You can tell it's May. And
yeah.
Speaking of which, I've neglected to mention this. My birthday was back in April. And for my birthday, my daughter made me a website.
Oh, yeah.
So just in case anybody wants to Google Charlie Dobbin. And she was very clever. So it's charliedobbin.com.ca.org. She did them all. She's
wow.
grabbed every single domain name out there. So Charlie Dobbin now has a website, which I haven't had up until this last month. So it's pretty fun. It is obviously still in development, but it's been fun for her and fun for me as well.
Well, there you go. And by the way, Dobbin is spelled D-O-B-B-I-N.
That's right.
Right?
That's
okay.
correct. And
that's
she's actually coming with me on a consultation today so she can get a better sense of what it is I do so she can make that website even better.
Good for Sydney.
I know. She's
excellent.
Great. So thank you, Sydney. Thanks, Frank. So you're busy, I guess, this
yes, I'll be back
today.
At 1 o'clock till 3:30 with all sorts of great music and
good.
Little tidbits of this, that, and the other.
About what's on in the city.
Yeah.
You know, good for you. Thank you, Sebastian. Couldn't do any of this without his help. And the gentleman behind us, the cars, the engines
Dave's
are revving.
Car garage are revving
I can
already.
Hear them from through our soundproof
yeah.
door. So stay tuned for what's going on in the world of cars coming up right after us. And we'll see you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.